You're listening to the Table Talk podcast, brought to you by Food Matters Live.
Welcome to the Table Talk podcast. I'm Stephen Gates. I'm a TV presenter and writer specialising in food and science. Now, this podcast is all about aquaculture, meeting food demands and delivering sustainability. And joining me to shed light on all this is Sophie Ryan, CEO of Global Salmon Initiative. Hello, Sophie.
Hi, Stephen. Great to have you on here.
Well, Sophie, let's not beat about the bush here. Let's start off by saying, what is the Global Salmon Initiative?
A good place to start. So the Global Salmon Initiative, or GSI as we say, it's a bit of a mouthful, is a collective of salmon farming companies from around the world. So we have members from Norway, Chile, Canada, but as also as far away as the Faroe Islands in New Zealand. But it's a group of companies who have come together with a very simple mission: to improve the sustainability performance of the farm and salmon sector. And through those members, we cover over 50% of the global industry and believe that by working together, we can have a much greater impact on their sustainability performance at a much faster rate than by working alone. And so that's what we're working on.
Okay. Now, these are two sort of hugely different issues, aren't they? Meeting food demands and delivering sustainability. But we know that they need to interact and work in together with each other. But what can the global salmon industry do in this area? So first of all, let's tackle this of meeting global food demands, first of all. What is it that salmon can provide?
Well, I think if you look at meeting food demands, there's a very kind of important question we need to be answering now. And it's, how do we produce enough food? You know, the global population is growing and we're putting more and more demand on, you know, the world's resources. And especially as we put more demand on the need for animal protein, but we just don't have enough space or enough fresh water to continue doing what we have to do, which is why it's kind of a good time, I think, to be looking to the oceans. So we know the ocean, you know, covers 70% of the Earth's surface, yet currently only 5% of food comes from the ocean. So there's really lots of potential for us to be using the ocean as more of a resource for food, not just because it provides more space, but the ocean can also help us, you know, provide the food that you say is more, you know, healthy for us to eat, but also healthy for the environment. And we all know that fish is healthy for us. You know, we know that, you know, salmon especially is packed full of those essential nutrients and omega-3s we need. But I think few of us, or, you know, less of us know that it actually has a smaller impact on the environment than perhaps other forms of food. So aquaculture and salmon farming can, you know, help us meet that growing demand for food by providing food that is both healthy for us as humans, but also healthy for the planet.
And just before we delve into the salmon farming industry, when we say aquaculture, is it more than just salmon?
Oh God, yes. Aquaculture basically just means farming in the oceans. So just as we farm on land for crops or, you know, cattle or sheep, it's farming in the ocean. So we have salmon, tilapia, shrimp, seaweed. Basically, anything you can think of, it's just, rather than using the wild stocks, it's a more responsible way of using the oceans by farming the fish there.
Gotcha. Okay, so let's delve into the whole sustainability issue, because the salmon farming industry has come in for a lot of criticism over the last few years, and there are environmental issues, the use of fish meal, impact on wild fish stocks, sea lice pollution, pesticide usage, animal welfare issues. Do you think that the salmon farming industry has been fairly treated, and what are most salmon farmers' reaction to these criticisms?
That's a really good question. And I think firstly, to start, we need to recognize that salmon farming is a fairly new industry. You know, it's only really been around in the last 40 years or so that it's become a food production sector at a global scale. And in that short time, they have, you know, grown very quickly, but also evolved very quickly. But as you mentioned, as farmers, they have faced a lot of criticism and they continue to get a lot of attention. And I think it's important to say that, you know, rightly so, they're farming animals and they're farming in the ocean. And both of those can have big impacts and big consequences. But under, you know, that additional attention and under that pressure, I think as an industry, they've had to focus a lot on making sure they are operating in the right way and, you know, doing the best that they can. And I think that means that as an industry, they've taken on that criticism, that attention, and they've used it, you know, to make sure they're working on the areas that are most important to, you know, their stakeholders, and put most of their attention there, you know, to find ways to improve and to do better, and to, you know, find ways to innovate to make sure that they are addressing, you know, that criticism and addressing those challenges and finding ways to overcome them.
Now, and also the list of issues that I just read out, I mean, they are things that apply to somebody who's got some hectares of land, isn't it? It's the same sort of issues, you know, environmental use of fish meal. You know, we're growing grain that is fed to livestock. You know, pesticides, pollution. It's the same sort of thing as farmers who are farming on land. Do you think that salmon farmers have been unfairly criticised in comparison to the livestock industry?
Oh, that's a tricky question. Give me a second on that one. You know what? I think it's a really good point. And like any industry, there is going to be, you know, they're going to have an impact on what they are doing or how they are operating. Whether it's been unfair, I wouldn't know. I think every industry faces its challenges and faces its fair share of criticism. But what I would say about the salmon farming industry is that they have taken that criticism on board, and rather than, you know, rebutting it or, you know, challenging it, they're actually saying, you know, we want to be the best industry we can be, and we believe we have a lot to offer, especially in this changing world, and as the demand for food increases and pressures on land increase. So we're just going to, you know, take that criticism and, you know, make sure we're working on the areas that are most important. And I think if we look at, you know, one of the biggest challenges the industry faces and where they face the most criticism has been on the use of wild fish in fish feed. And so if we look back even, you know, 10, 15 years ago, the industry was using a lot of wild fish, you know, krill, anchovies, and using that in feed for salmon. And the ratios back then were about, you know, 3 wild fish, you know, to feed 1, you know, 1 fish. And that's just not a ratio that is something that is sustainable or was responsible use of ocean resources. And so the industry took on a lot of criticism for that. But in a fairly short space of time, you know, if we look, you know, even just in 5 years, that number has significantly decreased. And we're now looking at something that is more, you know, 1-to-1. And these days it's going even lower as the industry focuses on finding new innovations to help replace that, those wild fish going into that feed. So we're looking at algae oils and canola oils and trying to get that number even more. So I think to answer your question, they do face a lot of criticism, just like any production industry and any food production industry, they're going to have an impact. But we're using that to make sure we're addressing the areas that are most important and trying our best to improve those numbers and make the industry as efficient and as sustainable as it can be.
Now, the name Global Salmon Initiative implies that there's something proactive about it. You know, the initiative is taking action. What are some good examples of the changes that have been implemented?
Well, the GSI is all about action, as you said, and it's definitely not a group that is about, you know, talking the talk but not walking the walk. And so when we began back in 2013, the members set a very clear outline of what they wanted to work on. And we set 4 working areas, or kind of 4 areas that we wanted to make the most progress on. And those were, all of our members have to commit to achieving the Aquaculture Stewardship Council standard, the ASC standard. So the ASC standard is widely recognized to be the most challenging certification of aquaculture. If you're familiar with the MSC standard, you may see the logo in stores for wild fish. ASC is the equivalent for aquaculture. So when GSI began, there was no salmon farm ASC certified. But in 7 years, we've had, I think we're at 65% of our members' production ASC certified now, which is a tremendous uptake, really, in a fairly short space of time, considering the challenging nature of the standard. And so what GSI has done has helped set up a platform for the companies to share their experiences with working with the standard. So if a company was, you know, struggling to understand one of the criteria or perhaps struggling to implement it, they've been able to reach out to the other companies to say, hey, how did you do this? Or we're struggling with this one. How did you do it? And so they've been able to share those experiences and really, you know, progress their farms into reaching that standard.
Yeah. Now, for the industry to remain successful, it needs to continue to make a profit. But solving environmental issues and pollution and pesticide usage and things like that presumably must come at a cost. Well, I mean, there must be a balance here to be able to make. You know, at some point it's going to become too expensive for people to buy their salmon. You know, to solve the problems, is it a massive expenditure for your members?
It definitely doesn't come cheap making that. Improvements needed, but it's a very simple question, really. If you were to ask any of the farmers whether there was value in them, you know, making sure they're operating at the most sustainable level, they would say it's a sunken cost. They're going to make those changes, whatever the cost. And what we've seen over time is that, you know, making those changes actually makes them more efficient and more effective for what they're doing. And so over time, when you look at the long term, the cost is somewhat negligible because the changes they're making and those investments they're making end up coming back in efficiencies that way. So there really isn't going to be a huge change in cost of the price of salmon because, well, one, people in the stores probably wouldn't buy it then. But two, it's just something the farm and the farms and the industry know they have to work on and have to be doing. And so it's just, you know, as with any company, you just take it into your company and just make it part of the daily operations.
Yeah. Now, it all sounds very positive, but can you give us some actual specific examples of the sort of changes that people can make to make themselves more sustainable? Farmers can make,
and
not people can
farmers,
make.
Farmers, yes, that's what I was going to ask. As a person, there's lots we can be doing, but as farmers. Yes, I think there's lots of changes the farms can be doing, and it's also a process of continuous improvement.
Can you give us some examples, though, practical examples?
Yeah, so I think one of the biggest areas as GSI we're working on is fish health and welfare. And obviously farming in the oceans, you know, when you're looking after fish, there's going to be impact on the oceans. And so one of the biggest areas we're working on is making sure that any of that impact in the ocean is to a minimum. And so one of the areas we've had specific attention being paid to is obviously as you're growing fish like any animal, you have to make sure they are healthy. And sometimes that, you know, involves giving them, you know, vaccines or perhaps some medicine treatment if they're starting to be a bit unhealthy, but that can then go into the water and have impacts there. So what we've done in GSI actually is say there must be other ways rather than using these medicines. Perhaps we can find non-medicinal approaches to tapping some of these issues the fish are facing. And so we've been looking at things like putting what they call skirts around the farm. So rather than just having, you know, the fish in a pen, they've got this kind of skirt around them so that the water doesn't flow in and out and, you know, other animals in the water can't get into the pens as easily, or putting water bubbles around the farms so that there's like fresh oxygen coming up through the base of the farm so the fish have plenty and plenty of oxygen coming through. And what we've seen is that by within GSI, by trialing out a few of these methods in different farms in different regions, we've been able to much more quickly see what's working and what perhaps isn't working or what needs changing, and been able to dramatically reduce the amount of medicine being used and instead, you know, move the farms to using some of these more novel approaches.
And so give us some examples of the low-hanging fruit. What are the simpler things that a farmer can do to make themselves more sustainable?
Oh, a low-hanging fruit in sustainability.
The earliest stage, you know, the first things that they can do that aren't going to cost the earth and are implementable relatively easily.
Oh, I think I'm struggling because I think anything that was easy, they perhaps already done, and they're just passing the bigger issues because, you know, the low-hanging fruits aren't going to have the big impact that we need right now. And so we actually haven't been looking at the low-hanging fruit. We've been aiming at the other end of
they're already doing
at
that,
the scale. But perhaps as I think on it, one of the areas that we've, you know, there was a big part of GSI and actually seems somewhat simple, but we realized no one was really doing it, was just being more transparent in what you are doing and what your performance is and was, because without having, you know, the data available and being transparent on what you're doing, we aren't really able to make any progress.
And once you've got the data, then you can share the data.
Exactly. Yeah. And then again, companies can start looking at it with each other and saying, okay, how have you got these numbers or how are you achieving that? But also we do a lot of work with different stakeholder groups and we let, you know, them come in for open discussion as well to see, you know, how are we doing this, or where should we be improving? And as GSI, you may have seen on our website, we have a sustainability report up there, which includes data across 14 key sustainability indicators. So everything from fish health and welfare, to fish escapes, to how much feed, to the carbon footprint. But all of the members have to report to that every year across all of their farms and all of their production. And we've had that data up there now for, we're just coming up, we're just preparing our next report actually, but we've had the data up there now for 7 years. And just having that data on a platform which anybody can access really just starts a conversation from a place of fact rather than just a conversation that was happening before where it was based on belief and trust. We now know exactly what every member is doing, how they're performing, and where changes need to happen. And I think that's been a really important trigger in just starting some of those conversations around how they can improve their sustainability.
Yeah. Now, I was filming at a salmon farm in the north of Scotland a couple of months ago, and they were using wrasse as a non-pesticide treatment for sea lice.
Yes. And a little cute cleaner fish.
Yeah, cleaner fish. Now, but obviously they have to catch these cleaner fish to be able to put them in the pen to be able to eat the sea lice. Are things like that the sorts of solutions that your members are looking at, or is it bigger and more fundamental?
No, some of them, that's one method they are definitely looking at, and they've been trying it to see if it does work, and, you know, also seeing what do the wrasse need to be happy and healthy as well. So making sure those fish, not just the salmon, are getting everything they need, making sure they have the right conditions as well. And what's interesting, that's currently only an option in the Northern Hemisphere. So those little fish, you know, don't live down in Chile, for example. And so that's not an option that the Chilean farms currently have. But they're still part of the conversation to see how is it working, you know, what benefits does it bring? And then, you know, looking if they have something similar down there as well. So just keeping that, you know, trying out things to see what works and how we can improve things, but then sharing the knowledge once we have it as well.
So it's interesting that it's not just Scotland and Norway producing salmon. It's a whole range of different countries, a surprising collection of countries. Can you give us some more detail about where your members are from?
Yeah. I know, being British, I just always assumed that all salmon came from Scotland, but my mind has been blown. No, so salmon actually is obviously one of the, you know, the world's most consumed seafood items. And so it's, mass produced in a way, but it's produced in many different countries. So as you said, not just Scotland and Norway, but also Ireland, but then also in the Faroe Islands. So the small little islands off Denmark, but also Iceland, Chile, as I mentioned, in Canada as well. But then also on the other side of the globe, in Australia and New Zealand, there are farms down there as well. So salmon is produced all over the world, really.
And is the knowledge gained from these spectacularly different kind of regions and climates, is it, can you combine it to help people across the world, help farmers across the world?
Simply, yes. It's, you know, the ocean is the same the world over. There may be some different challenges or some, you know, different situations that are unique to, you know, the particular location. But what we found, and one of the reasons why GSI began in the first place, is that the farms, no matter where they are in the world, are all, you know, doing the same thing, trying to be more sustainable, and often facing the same challenges. And so by bringing them all together, they're not working in isolation anymore. They have access to, you know, a pool of knowledge and a pool of experience. And, you know, it's hugely beneficial for them to be sharing that information and helping each other improve in their sustainability performance. And, you know, even more importantly, even if we look at one region, so say just in Scotland, the farms are operating, you know, in the same neighborhoods. And so if one farm is, you know, doing something that has a very negative impact on the environment or the ocean, that's going to impact the farm, you know, down the way to them. So they really have to be working together to make sure everyone is improving their operations and doing the best they can. It, you know, it simply won't work if they're operating in isolation. So there's huge benefits in them coming together and just sharing what they're working on and helping each other improve.
So is the industry affected by the current trend for plant-based food? Initiatives like yours are required by the industry to make themselves seem to be kinder to the planet, really. You know, that sustainability issue is becoming a real flag that they have to fly.
Mm-hmm. And I think as a society, it's, you know, the future of where our food comes from and what are we eating and how is it produced is the most important question. And so, you know, the salmon industry is, I guess, very interested in how the plant-based foods are gonna take off and how they're gonna, you know, affect the industry. But I think we just need more food, and we need, you know, to protect the planet. We need food which is produced in a way which has minimal environmental impact, but yet still delivers, you know, nutritious food to us as humans. And I think, you know, the plant-based is a very exciting new option that is available to consumers, and I think is gonna, you know, help us meet those demands. But for people that still want to eat animal protein and still, you know, want to have that choice, I think farm salmon offers a really, you know, a nice option. It's more environmentally friendly than perhaps some of the land-based meat options, but it still gives you all of that protein and all of those nutrients that you get from eating animal products.
Can you give us a little bit of context on the sort of relative environmental impacts of salmon, farmed salmon, compared to other animal protein?
Yeah, because I think people are often surprised at just, you know, the efficiency of farmed salmon and the fact that it does have a very low environmental impact. So obviously it's in the ocean, so it uses less land, but it also uses less fresh water. So often for animal-based products, you know, you have to grow the crops and you have to give them water, so that uses a lot of water. Salmon don't need that. But what's most interesting is that salmon actually use fewer resources than many of the other land-based animals. Salmon, because they're in the water and they're constantly swimming, they're highly efficient at converting the food they eat into body weight. So they're super efficient at taking the resources in to provide the protein out. But the production as well also has a much lower carbon footprint than cows, beef, or chicken as well. So it is seafood and farmed salmon are a more environmentally friendly animal protein to choose if that's what you're looking for.
Yeah. And is there anything that, I mean, obviously we've been talking a lot about what farmers can do to reduce their impact or change the way that they raise this protein. Is there anything that consumers can do to reduce our impact in the way or the amount or the packaging or anything? You know, what about our responsibilities? Is there something that we can do to reduce our impact?
Definitely. I believe as consumers, we have incredible power in helping, you know, choose the right products and drive these sustainability improvements by simply making conscious purchasing decisions. So either by choosing seafood and choosing certified seafood options, or by even just asking more questions at the supermarket or the restaurant, you know, asking where it's from or is it certified? We're telling the people who make those choices for us that we want more sustainable and responsible options. But we're also, you know, supporting the farmers using the most sustainable methods and then, you know, rewarding those efforts. So in turn, we're helping drive more the growth in sustainable options and encouraging them to become more sustainable. So I think as consumers, we have that huge power just in the decisions and the choices we make. And by making, you know, those right choices and asking the right questions, we can help drive the food industry towards a more sustainable future.
Now, there's in my sort of small amount of delving into the industry, there seemed to be a fair amount of conflict between salmon farmers and wild salmon industry. Well, it's not a huge industry, it's a relatively small one. Well, take the gloves off for a second and tell us, you know, is it fair to say that farmed salmon is destroying wild salmon stocks and that wild salmon's good and farmed salmon is bad?
I would just like to say that I think all salmon is good. I think eating seafood is good. But I think you raise a really good point, and there's lots of confusion around, you know, what is better, wild or farmed. But I think if we break it down, there are two important considerations here. The first is on nutrition. And we all know that eating seafood is good for our health. It's a great source of nutrients and minerals. And salmon is an oily fish, and so it's full of omega-3s, which are good for our hearts and good for our brains. But it's also important to note that global research shows that there isn't any significant difference in wild or farmed in terms of the health benefits. So if you're looking for nutrition, wild or farmed is fine. But I think the second consideration is perhaps coming slightly more important today, and that's the issue of sustainability. And in an ideal world, I think we'd all love to be eating wild fish, but there simply isn't enough wild fish out there to be feeding us all. You know, the FAO have said that 90% of wild fisheries are already overfished or depleted. So, you know, we simply can't just go to the oceans and start eating more and more wild fish, because the oceans will just collapse and there'll be no fish left. So I think when we consider these two factors in together, then farmed salmon aquaculture has a very important role to play. And so I think we just need to be considering, you know, what options we're choosing and then basing it on that. And I think it's neither one nor the other. And, you know, based on where you live, perhaps, you know, wild fish could be plentiful and you have great resources there. For many of us, that isn't an option. And so having farm salmon allows us to get that healthy protein we want, but we know it's coming from a sustainable and responsible source.
Yeah. So what is the GSI's overall vision? Have you got some lines in the sand? What are you hoping to achieve?
We're hoping to achieve a lot, but
any specific targets?
Yes, the overall GSI vision is really continuing to work on improving the industry's sustainability performance, which we see as a continuous progress. You know, sustainability isn't a checkbox that will easily be completed. It's going to be something that's going to be continuing as, you know, the world changes and as the impacts of climate change we see more and more, we're going to have to keep evolving, which is one of the reasons we have chosen to work with the ASC standard, as I mentioned, because that in itself is a continuous improvement certification. So even though once a farm has that standard, it's not done and dusted, they have to keep improving their performance. And so by aligning with a certification that has that focus, we know that we're always going to be looking for ways to improve and perhaps the areas we're working on change over time, but always just looking to promote greater sustainability in our operations and making sure the food we're producing, the salmon we're providing to consumers, is the most sustainable and responsibly sourced product it can be.
So just to round this off, can you give us some predictions for the future? I'm interested not just in what's going to be wildly successful, but what are the issues that are facing the salmon farming industry? What sort of stands out for you as being either a threat or a reason for wild optimism, or both?
Yeah, I think looking to the future, I think what excites me the most about looking to the future is there is a great sense of optimism. You know, working in the food industry, lots of the conversations we hear now are about how, you know, we're facing so many challenges. There's not enough land, there isn't enough water, or, you know, the operations just aren't sustainable enough, which can make you feel a little bit sad about the future and the food we're going to get. But actually what, you know, excites me the most, I think, about the future is that the commitment to farmers, whether salmon or, you know, any type of fishery or animal, is they want to do better. And we now recognize the importance of sustainability. And so the level of innovation that is occurring is just kind of mind blowing. And some of the innovations that you thought years ago were impossible or just wouldn't ever be able to happen, we're now, you know, seeing. And it's really exciting to be working in an industry which is so focused on, you know, constantly improving its sustainability, that some of the ideas that you see, you just wouldn't think were possible. And, you know, for example, sitting in a meeting about 5 years ago with GSI, we were looking at the issue of the wild fish in the feed and, you know, trying to think of what could be done to change that. And when someone mentioned the idea of farming algae to replace the wild fish in the feed, just kind of taking out the middleman in a sense and going right to the root of where the goodness came from, everyone kind of wondered if that was possible or how we could, you know, produce enough algae to do that, or would it be the right requirements? And now there is feed already out there with algae in it. And it's that, the speed of innovation and how these ideas come up and how quickly they get brought into production just makes me really optimistic that the industry is just going to keep going from strength to strength and just going to keep on improving. And so it just makes me excited to know that we're going to have farm salmon, you know, on the shelves for many years to come, and consumers are going to be able to feel more confident that when they choose farm salmon, they can feel assured that it's, you know, a very sustainable, eco-efficient, climate-friendly food to be eating.
Well, that makes a lot of sense. Well, and good luck for the future. We're looking forward to seeing how it all evolves over the next few years, really. And thank you so much for joining us on Table Talk. Sophie Ryan, CEO of Global Salmon Initiative.
Great. Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you for listening to the Table Talk podcast. If you've enjoyed it, please share a review. If you like what you've heard, find out more on foodmatterslive.com or find us on Twitter and Facebook.